Thank you very much for inviting me. It's lovely to be here. Normally, I would have a thing I'd like to move about, so I'm going to be very restricted today. I'll try my best. You'll just have to say, get back into the middle again. But it's wonderful. You might have wondered why I chose just a couple of verses. Because if we'd have read the whole story and then going into 2 Kings chapter 8, it'd have probably been the sermon. So I thought it would be better to actually retell the story and try and act it out in a sense. But I've titled it The Faith of a Shunammite Woman. And it all begins when she makes her home open to the man of God, Elisha. And from there we see that her life was blessed. We see that she faced trials. She faced sorrow. But then God broke through in her life. But then after that, she could look back and saw God's ultimate miraculous plan. And she probably thought, wow, isn't God amazing? So I hope we can learn from that today. And I hope God will speak to our hearts. Now, to build the context, you all know the prophet Elijah, don't you? Can any of you tell me some of the miracles that he did? Some amazing ones. He rained down fire from heaven. He destroyed the prophets of Baal. Any others? I love the one that he outran the chariots. He changed the weather patterns. He did wonderful miracles. And when he went up to heaven in a whirlwind, you can imagine Elisha. He passed his mantle to Elisha. And Elisha is who is in this narrative now. And just as before we get into this passage, we can see the miracles that Elisha wrought. He, just like Elijah, he parted the rivers. This woman was in major debt and she was at fear of losing everything that she had. And he filled all her jars with oil supernaturally and she could pay off her debt. An interesting one just before here. Some youths were mocking him, calling him baldy. That's a strange one, isn't it? But he called a curse down upon them, and they were mauled by two female bears, 42 youths. Not sure I quite understand that one so much. I'm glad I'm not preaching on that one. But now we see Elisha is here, and he's going past a place called Shunem. I believe he was probably on his way to Mount Carmel, because he'd been there, he'd come down to Samaria, and he seems to be doing a circuit, as you were, going to different places. And he comes to a place called Shunem. And it was there that a very notable woman, called the Shunammite woman, she's not named, she persuaded him to come and eat at her house. So every time he would come by, he would then eat with her. And she said this, and this has got me thinking. She said to her husband, "Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God. I know that this is a holy man of God. Therefore, can't we build him a room on the roof where we can then make a table and a lamp and a bed and a chair so that whenever he comes, he can stay there? I know that this is a holy man of God." And that got me thinking that this woman, because of her perception that God was at work in Elijah, gave her the willingness to serve. Her perception that Elijah was a man of God gave her willingness to serve. Isn't it funny how women seem to have more perception? I've got to be careful what I say now, haven't I? Women seem to have more perception. In my experience, I'm generalizing, than men. They tend to, don't they? And she saw something in Elijah that God was at work. We know that from the New Testament as well. As we just finished the resurrection story last week, we saw that the majority of the disciples at the foot of the cross were women, apart from John, obviously. And there was an interesting woman there named Joanna. Have you ever done a search out on who Joanna is? If you go back to Luke chapter 8, it says that these women, including Joanna, were one of the people that supported the ministry of Jesus financially. And that's interesting. So when you trace who Joanna is, she was the wife of a man named Chaza. I think that's how you pronounce it, isn't it, Hebrew? Chaza. Say Chaza. Chaza. I just want you to remember that. Now, when you search out who Chaza is, he is the manager of Herod Antipas's household. That's interesting, isn't it? Now you wonder why Herod Antipas, he was the one that killed John the Baptist, not the one who, he's not Herod the Great, he's the son of Herod the Great. You wonder why he was so intrigued with Jesus, why he wanted to see him and see him perform miracles, because he probably heard in his own household from Joanna. But interestingly enough, Joanna was the one that supported Jesus' ministry. And ironically, we see that Herod, in a roundabout way, was providing for the ministry of Jesus. I think that's wonderful, isn't it? But I just think about in my life how I have been blessed by women in ministry. The moment I started Open Door, we wanted to start a gospel meeting on Wednesday. It wasn't received by everyone, I must admit, and there was quite a lot of opposition. But a woman came alongside me and was prayerful and stood by me when there was no one else. It was this woman. And then from that sprung forth, we thought, okay, there were people getting saved. And we thought it would be good to open up a worship service for those who don't feel comfortable with sitting in a traditional church so that they could come and have a coffee and then just feel welcome with people that they knew. And that wasn't received too well either. People were sort of, well, I'm not sure if this is going to work. But then a woman donated to me donated to the ministry, anonymously donated £1,000. And people from that were like, okay, well, this must be of God, because now we've got the funds to do it. And then I think further on down the line where people were saying, hold on a minute, now Simon's leading a service. We don't even know what he's preaching. Really, we need to support him. He needs to go down to Spurgeon's and learn. And again, one woman stepped forward and anonymously paid for my 2-year training in Spurgeon's. Isn't that wonderful? And I just feel so blessed because these women have supported me so much. Now, I'm not saying that men don't support. I'm not saying that. I'm just sticking with the text. And even today, because, I mean, I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease when I was 16 years old. And I've struggled with my health. I've had half of my colon taken out. Even today, there's this woman who provides me with these very expensive probiotics and vitamin tablets. And every month, I've got them, I've ordered them, and she brings them to me. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, I am so blessed by the ministry of women. So blessed. But it's not just financially we're talking about here. Here, she was lovely hospitality towards a man of God. Just recently, one woman came in, and there's this very, very difficult woman we have at Open Door. She comes to Sunday at 1 and that. She can be very rude. But she said, I feel led to ask this woman round for dinner. And you know, that act of kindness to this woman, bear in mind this woman hadn't drunk alcohol for 4 years, so she'd been steeped in alcohol. The difference in her, on the run-up to her having that meal, we went round and we had a meal. She was so delighted. She was full of grace. She had nothing but good words to say about me. Just that act of kindness was just absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. So here, the Shunammite woman, because she perceived that God was at work and she wanted to bless Elisha, she was also richly blessed here. It says that Elisha, when he was sitting in the lovely place that she made for him, he said, you know, this woman's been, said to Gehazi, his servant, this woman has been so wonderful to us. Why don't you call her and see what we could do for her? So she came along and he said, look, I know the king. I know the commander of the armies. There must be something I can do for you. But she said this. I live among my own people. That's an interesting thing to say, isn't it? What she's saying is, my family support me. I think that's lovely, isn't it? That she, even though she has a deep need, which we'll find out in a minute, she was content with just serving the man of God, wanting nothing in return. And we can learn from that, can't we? Godliness with content. I love that. But he said to Gehazi, surely there must be something we can do for this woman. He said, well, she's not got a son, and her husband is old. So he said, call the Shunammite woman. And she came along and he said, this time next year, you shall have a son. Now, if you understand the culture and what it would have been like to be barren and not being able to have a son, if you can imagine, probably year in, year out, they've been trying, they've been praying, they've been seeking God for a son, but yet nothing came. You can understand the desperacy of her when she says, man of God, please don't lie to me. Don't lie. But what happened? She became pregnant. Isn't that lovely? You can imagine the joy when she became pregnant and she had a son. So it's the same, you know, we don't serve in order to get prosperity. She was content, but God brought about a blessing in her life. Now, I'm sure if we serve together, didn't Jesus say this, you may know that you are my disciples, that you love one another? If you serve and support and love one another inside, people will be drawn by that, I think. Now, the third point I want to make is that through a trial, the sorrow that she's going to have now, through these trials, she tenaciously sought God and trusted in him. It says that when the child grew, the child went out to be with a father who was reaping in a harvest. And the boy goes, my head, my head. And I'm trying to think what could have possibly gone wrong. And I probably think it was very hot in the Middle East. And maybe this kid had sunstroke. But the father said, look, send him, carry him to his mother. So the boy was carried to the mother, and the boy was rested on her lap, and she cradled him until eventually the boy died. You can imagine the desperate, so desperate, painful sorrow that she must have felt. God promised me a son, and now my son is taken away. How would you feel? You'd be angry with God, would you? You'd be desperate. But she does this interesting thing. She goes and takes the boy and lies him on Elijah's bed and closes the door. Why does she do that? I believe this is the faith of the Shunammite woman. She knew that God had promised this boy, and she thought if she goes and takes the boy to the husband is going to bury the child. She's saying, no way. I know that God is going to raise him from the dead. Does that remind you of a story of Abraham? Where Abraham says, look, I want you to go and take your son, your only son whom you love, and offer him as a burnt sacrifice. And it said Abraham, the next morning, got up, two men and a donkey, and went. And then he said this to the two men. He said, wait here, we will return. So Abraham knew that even if he was going to bring that dagger down upon Isaac, God was going to raise him from the dead. That's faith, isn't it? Because God had promised him that the descendant would come through him. I wish we had that faith. So she had that faith, so she went to her husband. She went to her husband and she said, can I have a man and a donkey? Because I want to go and see the man of God. And his husband's like, well, hold on a minute. Why are you going to see him? It's not the new moon or the Sabbath. And she said this, shalom. It doesn't say that in the NIV or the King James. It says shalom. That, do you know what that means? Peace. Peace under this difficult circumstance, this sorrow that she had peace. Only God can give you that peace. Shalom. So her husband gave her the donkey and the man, and she said, look, just carry on. Don't stop until I say. And then Elisha saw the woman coming and he said to Gehazi, look, go and ask her if everything's okay with you or your husband or your child. So Gehazi went up to her and said, is everything okay? What does she say again? Shalom. Peace under these such difficult circumstances. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. But she went up to Elisha and she fell to his feet. And Gehazi went to push her away. And Elisha said these words. Leave her alone. In Now that's a man of God, isn't it? Full of compassion. Leave her alone. She's in distress. And God hasn't revealed to me what the problem is. Can you imagine having that relationship with God? Wouldn't it be good if we came to our prayer meeting and said, God's not speaking to us today. But it's usually the other way around, isn't it? It's like, God, please speak to us. We don't know your will. But Elisha had such faith that he was so surprised that God wasn't speaking to him. Lord, give us that faith. Give us that relationship with God, I think. But then she said this. She said, look, I didn't ask for this child. I didn't. And didn't I say to you, don't deceive me? So Elisha told Gehazi to go ahead, gird up your loins, which is basically getting the robe and tucking it in your belt. Run as fast as you can. And what I want you to do when you get there, lay my staff on the lad. But then the woman said, look, to Elisha, look, hold on a minute. No way. I am not leaving you. As the Lord lives, as my soul lives, I will not leave you. That's tenacious, seeking God and trusting him. No one else will do. Only you, God, because I know only you can give life. I think we need that faith, don't we? So Gehazi went, and he went. Elisha went, and Gehazi came back and said, look, I've tried it, but it didn't work. So Elisha went in, and he closed the door on both of them and went to the boy on the bed, and he laid upon the boy mouth to mouth, hands to hands, eyes to eyes, and then suddenly the boy's flesh started to become warm. He got up again, and then he paced up and down and prayed. And then again he did the same, eyes to eyes, mouth to mouth, hands to hand, and suddenly the boy, achoo! Seven times the boy sneezed. Hallelujah to that. And there's a wonderful, call the Shunammite woman. So the Shunammite woman came and she bowed down to Elisha and picked up the boy and left. Now it was her faith that tenaciously sought God and trusted in him that he would fulfill his promises. And God broke through. God broke through. Let me tell you, if you're going through trials, if you're going through sorrow or bereavement, or maybe as a church you're going through a testing time, seek God tenaciously. Seek him with all of your heart. And I just, like, you know, like the man of the pool of Bethsaida, he had one eye on the pool and one eye on Jesus. It doesn't work. We need to get both of our eyes on Christ and seek him with all our heart, and all things will be added to us. Just like this woman. An interesting thing. Elisha was a prophet of God, and what did he represent? He represented these things. He was a man of reputation. He followed Elijah. He was also a man of the word. He was a prophet of God who advised kings and preached the word of God in all of its fullness, but he was also a man of prayer. He would have gone to Mount Carmel to pray. Now this, what God represents, you can imagine just that picture of Elisha consuming the boy, eyes to eyes, mouth to mouth, hands to hands. In other words, we too have to let God in all his fullness consume our church and our ministry. That means being of good reputation in the community, loving, serving, but also preaching the word. And I know Steve does, and I love your prayers, and I know he has a heart for God. You know, support him with all your heart, really do. Support him, but also for prayer. And it's lovely that you meet for an hour before your services, because in some church they'll meet for 5 minutes, and they'll just, you know, sometimes you can go to a church meeting, chat for an hour and a half, and then pray for five. Have you been to those? It's wonderful to come to a church that prays. Don't give up. Continue in that. Let God consume you, every part of your ministry. And what happened to the boy? Came to life. I will say this, if you do that, God will revive individually and corporately. And that goes for every church, not just this church. Last point I want to make, the Shunammite woman, at the time of her sorrow and her trials, she didn't see God's ultimate plan for her life. Now, we won't turn to it. I'll tell it. 2 Kings chapter 8. Elisha comes back and says to her, he warns her. He says, look, there's going to be a famine. So you need to move to the Philistines away from here so that you could get fed. Several years later, she's on her way back to the king to make a plea for him because she's lost her property in this time. And Gehazi is there before the king. And the king asks Gehazi, oh, please tell me all the wonderful things that Elisha has done. And guess what? He told the story, which I'm telling you now, of the Shunammite woman and Elisha raising her son from the dead. And guess who walks in just at that moment? The Shunammite woman. And he said, that's her! That's her! And the king just said, restore everything to this woman. You can imagine that. Now this woman probably thought back all that trials and sorrow, and she thought, wow, God knew this. God knew. God allowed my son to die because he didn't just care about my son. He cared about my property. He cared about my livelihood. He cared about a whole family. And now he's just done the whole biz on us. Hallelujah to that. She must have thought back, God is amazing. I'll leave you with this. We can't see what God's up to some half of the time. And I know sometimes I get impatient myself. But let me tell you this. You will look back. I'm sure you'll look back and say, wow, God truly is amazing. Let's pray together. Father, we just bless you and we praise you. We thank you for the faith of the Shunammite woman. She was just a wonderful picture of the church and how we should be. Father, we just pray that we would have discernment and open to know how to serve, in particular, people in God's ministry and support them, not just financially, but, Lord, with hospitality and love and care and compassion. And, Lord, I just also pray, Lord, that through trials, through sorrow, through bereavement, whatever it is, Lord, that we would keep our eyes and be tenaciously seeking God and trusting you, that we know that you'll fulfill all your promises in our life. But also, Lord, that we know that we can look back and see that you are just truly amazing. For, Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.